Bow hunters are some of the hardest working hunters there are. Most of us work hard all year long just to get a couple weekends or burn our vacation time to sit in a tree. And just like the American blue collar worker, we're trying to balance work, family, faith, and a little time for ourselves in the great outdoors. Now let me introduce you to Trollco Clothing, a brand built by blue collar workers for blue collar workers. Workwear, comfortable tees, hoodies and hats for both men and women, Trollco represents the hardworking American. So whether you're operating heavy equipment, wrenching on engines, or in a factory living that shift life, Trollco has your back, literally. Head to trollco.com/hunting. That's trollco.com/hunting and enter the discount code Empire25 for 25% off of your first order. Trollco, for the hardworking American. This time of year, you're going to find me jigging for crappies off my father-in-law's boat, celebrating a successful turkey hunt, or just sitting on the back deck watching time go by with a quality cigar from Thompson Cigar. Thompson Cigar has been around since 1915, offering the widest array of cigars and cigar accessories at very affordable prices. Thompson Cigar offers your favorite brands like Swisher Sweets, Cohiba, Backwoods, and Monte Cristo shipped fresh directly to your door. Also, be sure to check out their 5-pack fever deals and join their value club for big savings. Visit thompsoncigar.com and enter the discount code SE at checkout for 20% off of all orders over $75. Thompson Cigar, quality cigars at affordable prices. You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, brought to you by Full Sneak Gear. Check out their entire lineup at fullsneakgear.com. Also, be sure to check out our entire stable of podcasts at sportsmansempire.com. This episode of the Sportsman's Empire is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. Since 1952, Interstate Batteries has been evoking compassion and a trustworthy spirit into the surrounding communities. Interstate Batteries is a mission-driven company fueled by purpose and guided by their values. If you need help locating a specific battery, stop into your local Interstate Batteries retail store and speak with a battery specialist. They even offer cell phone repairs. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
Welcome to the Antler Up Podcast, brought to you by Tethered, the world's best saddle hunting gear, and we got a great show for you all today. You're listening to the Antler Up Podcast, where we dive into archery, hunting, and the mindset needed to elevate your game. Join us as we explore the latest strategies and gear to help you become the best hunter you can be, both in and out of the woods. And turkey season is here, and if you're serious about running and gunning for gobblers, you need a vest that's as mobile and adaptable as you are. That's where the Tethered M2 Turkey Vest comes in. Designed with the input from the hunting public and built for high-speed, low-drag performance, the M2 is ultra-light, whisper-quiet, and completely modular. Whether you like to keep it minimalist or pack in every tool of the trade, the M2's MOLLE-compatible system lets you set up your gear exactly how you want it. It's made from Whisper Tough fabric, a blend that's soft and silent on the outside, but tough as nails on the inside, all wrapped in the legendary Mossy Oak Bottomland camo. And best of all, the M2 is proudly made here in the USA, built for durability, designed for the ultimate mobility, and ready for the toughest turkey woods. So head on over and grab yours today over at tethered.com. America's Best Bowstrings is dedicated to crafting the finest custom bowstrings using top-notch BCY fibers and their exclusive building process. Check out the Launch Series, which is designed for the most demanding bow hunter and archer, setting a new standard in durability and performance. custom 452 XE fiber provides unparalleled strength and resilience, making them the go-to choice for serious archer. 2-year warranty, they stand behind their products, and the Launch Series bowstrings come with this warranty against peep rotation, serving separation, and stretch, giving you a peace of mind in every shot. So head on over to America's Best Bowstrings and build your custom set today. Use code AUO and save some money on your order today. At Antler Up, we know that quality gear can make or break your hunt, and that's why we're excited to partner with Huntworth Gear. If you're looking for premium gear without the premium price tag, Huntworth has you covered. And new for 2024, the Vertec pattern is a dynamic woodland camo pattern blending perfectly into any environment, whether you're stalking in the early season or hunkering down in the late season. From lightweight options for those warm September days to insulated gear that will keep you warm during the harshest winter conditions, Huntworth has you covered for everything you need all year long. Gear up right now and head over to huntworthgear.com to check out their full lineup. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to this week's episode. It's another episode with Jim and I, so we're going to dive down into our release aids that we promised you that we would do, kind of continuing working through some of the gear that we use and everything along those lines. Again, we're not going to get very scientific. We're going to just mainly talk about our experience with it. But before we do that, Jim, how was your weekend, man?
Well, you know what I've kind of been dealing with lately. For all the viewers out there, everyone needs to drink a lot of water. So I'm currently trying to pass a kidney stone, which is not ideal. But outside of that, everything's been great. Opening day youth trout was yesterday. The little guy smashed it. We caught 3 within like the first like hour and a half. And we hooked a few more, just couldn't land them. But we brought home some nice trout. It was a good day.
Nice. Yeah, that one was a good one, too. That was pumped. You're like caught a hammer already for him. So that was awesome that he had a chance to fight one. And I said he's caught more fish than I have in the last 4 years, which is
cool.
Yeah, it was
a 16 and a half incher. I measured it for him, which is a pretty good trout for a stream. I didn't weigh it or anything. I probably should have. It was a pretty girthy fish. But he caught that on his first cast, like the first cast of the day, which was awesome. It was like, you know, he's only 4 and a half, so I'm working on him with casting like a spin rod and whatever and trying to do it the right way. He's hit and miss. He does it pretty well periodically, but he still has a little hiccups, you know. I was like trying to figure out how much weight we were going to need to put on the line to see like the depths and stuff, to reach bottom and stuff. And he was like arguing with me. He's like, I want to do it myself. I'm like, okay. So I backed off. I let him do it himself. He casted it. He kind of got, like, in his back cast, he kind of got hung up a little bit, but, like, followed through, and was able to, like, get the line out. Like, it was only, like, 8 feet off the bank, and, like, it hit the water, and I'm like, all right, well, I pushed the bail over for him, and I was like, just give it, like, one crank just to tighten the line up a little bit, and we'll just see what happens, you know, like, whatever. This is what he wanted to do, so that's what we're here to do. And it was, like, 30 seconds, like, as that thing drifted down right into the hole, freaking bang. And, yeah, he fought that thing for a few minutes, and luckily, I brought the net. He was able to get it close enough to the bank where I could reach down and scoop it, and it was a good moment.
Was there a lot of people out?
Quite a few on the stream that I was on. Yeah, everyone's real respectful though on youth day. Like everyone kind of gives you some space. They know you're working with kids and stuff, so it's not like opening day of like the adult season where everybody's like shoulder to shoulder and they see you catching some and they come right over top of you type of deal. So I prefer youth day over adult day.
Yeah, no doubt. That's awesome. Yeah, I ended up going home and walked the club with Dad and checked things out with him and took some cameras away just to clean them up and get them out of the elements just for a few more months and get them check out and go scout a little bit just to see how the deer were moving a little bit on camera or during the season and check things out a little bit, which is kind of cool because you know, that mountain's so big, but yet when you walk it, sometimes you could really condense those areas. And we've talked about that a bunch on the podcast before and making bigger pieces. How can you make them smaller? But that was really cool because the one area that my dad and I really focused on this past year was a spot that we used to hunt. I used to hunt a lot as a kid, and that was like where I mainly hunted and grew up rifle hunting and all that type of stuff. But it was neat though, because the tree that we built a stand on when I was, you know,
12 years old, even younger than that. It the tree fell down and everything like that, but I had a chance to go walk and see it yesterday, which was really neat just because it brought back a bunch of memories. And I'm looking through the like the flat and how thick it is in certain spots. And but it was good because we walked a whole little piece of chunk. Like he took one side, I took the other side, and found good trails and basically found a really good pinch point of where these deer were coming up to the kind of the spot where we had really good encounters, where I had that encounter in October but got busted with the wind, where my dad shot and missed with the archery buck this past year during the rut when I was in Ohio. So we're going to focus that area again a little bit and put a couple more cameras down there, only like basically one more, I think, just on a little bit more on that pinch point where these trails converge together. So it was good. We, you know, it's always a good day to spend with your dad and do that type of stuff. And then we got back to the house and we shot our bows together just for about a half hour, maybe, I would say, just working our way through. And I ended up getting back to like 50 yards a little bit with the Exalt just to get that, verify that sight tape. And came home then afterwards, and I told you I went down that rabbit hole of just checking the whole draw length, and you were saying you were doing that too. So, you know, it's just funny how we could go down and always, you know, we always say we're always tinkering, and certain days I think when we just, it doesn't feel right, instead of messing with crap, we just need to put it away for a little bit and come back to it, or just shoot it more, just because then it's like, oh my gosh, I ended up tinkering with the draw length half an inch longer, another half inch longer, back down to where I was. And it's just because that's where it felt good at full draw. It's where kind of everything kind of with the string crease in the corner of my mouth felt really good. And I ended up putting a little button on just to kind of keep me in check with the whole string to nose thing. I told you my peep lines up perfectly and maybe not all the time touching, but arrow's going where it's supposed to. So I'm just, you know, I'm not going to mess with it too much.
It's funny because like, you know, you get a bow set up for you just as a standard bow hunter, and you get it to where you feel completely, you know, like all, you just draw back and you just know, you know, everything lines up. You're like, oh, that's perfect. I love it. But if you shoot enough like we do, you'll find out that like the an eighth of an inch in a draw length adjustment is big deal, you know? So yeah, we're always playing with that kind of stuff, just trying to make sure it's absolutely perfect for just the extra precision shooting, you know? You and I have, you know, we have a couple bows we set up both from our 3D setups to our hunting setup. So it's like we go down these rabbit holes, but each bow is a different dimension. And then it's, you know, has a different, we're using it for a different purpose. So it has a completely different feel to it. So like we, you know, it's fun, but we kind of like drive ourselves nuts with playing with the stuff.
Yeah. And then there's just so much more that we could dive into that, like with arrows and all that. But, you know, like I said, this one, let's talk about some of our releases. And you've been more so on the old tried and true. Like you really don't, you really haven't drifted away from what you've felt to be comfortable. And like, I know you mentioned it last time when you were talking about your shot process and why you use an index style because of, you know, your baseball injury. But what is the, like, I guess, what is the release you're mainly using and what you like about it and all that type of stuff?
So yeah, I have a bunch of them. This is the True Fire Hardcore, pretty standard, you know, wrist rocket, like people like to call them. It's been out for, oh boy, I would say north of 10 years. I would say probably closer to 15 years. I bet you this thing is out, maybe even longer. If I'm being honest, I think I came across a guy that had one at a flea market one time, like some years ago. And, he had like an original camouflage one for sale. I bought it. I have it around here somewhere just as for like nostalgia, but it was like one of the first, True Fire Hardcores. They're super adjustable. They're, both with the length of the neck. I prefer a neck on a release that's, like aluminum. I don't care for the ones that are the strap. Straps is just another point that can potentially fail at some point, in just my opinion, with all the different, you know, amounts of tensions and stress you put on it, or with the set screws that kind of dig and can cut that fiber. So you're able to adjust this the lengthwise. It has a pivoting joint here that allows this to actually pivot with you. So when you come back to full draw and you're putting different types of tension on the string, it'll actually center itself direct, you know, it'll center itself in your, what am I trying to say? In your, like your anchor point, like the way you anchor the boat, this will center itself to that. And I like that variability a lot because everybody's face is different. Everybody kind of puts a little bit different pressure. You know, some people might like tend to like tilt their hand a little bit more so they get that knuckle against the jaw, you know, whatever is your method. This kind of will work with that. It also pivots and rotates this way. So again, so when you're doing those tips or rotations, this thing will still stay completely straight and locked on the string. So if I focus it this way, it'll be on the string and like this will rotate. So this will always be dead straight on your D loop, which I really like that. You could adjust the trigger tension like you can with most of them. I prefer to run mine a little bit on the hotter side. I just like the crispness of it. It kind of resembles a lot of like the rifle triggers that I have. And then with some of the newer versions of this, you could actually change out the trigger mechanism itself. And you could have different, you can have a two finger, different angles. You can see the different angles there, you know, flat barrel styles, whatever you, to get that kind of feel or whatever that hand position is you like to use. I prefer to, when I'm shooting, you guys will see in a lot of the videos and stuff too. When I'm shooting an index style, I have my whole hand around it. So even though my index finger is around that trigger, my whole hand is open. And I find that like, I'll punch it way less if I'm using my whole hand as one unit rather than if I'm just using that, you know, that index finger. Cause that to me, and if you look at your hand, when you're trying to move your index finger, your other fingers kind of try to move in itself. So to me, it's much more, consistent if I could just do it as one unit. So,
well, what's funny is when you say that about like, you know, wrapping your whole hand around, it's fascinating when you actually film yourself to see what your mind is making your fingers do, because I don't know how many times I've recorded myself and as I'm on and I'm getting settled in and I'm kind of like, even though my thumb's on the release, I'm doing something with my mm-hmm. thumb, yep. right? Even it's just funny because you're seeing that but in my head, I don't think I'm doing that, but I'm kind of like touch a little tap, sure. tap, tap, yep. tap, tap. And then it's like, I you know, whatever, but you know, like I like how you, and that's what you helped me out with wrapping that hand and getting comfortable with, again, kind of mentally working through the steps. Like it's okay, like you will get mm-hmm. through this, and just have to be, you know, settled within that. And have you done like how you were saying about it lessens your trigger punching in that sense of things? Like, do you lighten up your hand? Do you, like, what's your kind of method?
Yeah, so
with that
when I come to full draw, I kind of use the middle knuckle of the index finger to kind of be on that trigger. And I could just, from my injury too, it's like ultra sensitive in that area too, naturally. So I have a really good feel for where I'm at on that trigger. And then once I'm there, I just kind of relax my entire hand around it and just kind of let the weight of my hand on that release itself. And then from pulling through into the shot, my whole hand is actually moving backwards into that trigger mechanism, which will eventually set it off. And as long as I'm doing the proper push pull and I'm just kind of letting my hand gently glide along that release until I'm touching that off, I seem to find that's like the most consistent and accurate for me with the index style. The other thing I wanted to point out was that this is also an open hook style. I prefer that also for a couple of reasons. One, I don't like the jaws because it puts a lot of like undue pressure in weird points on the D loop, and it seems to want to tear up the D loop a little bit more often than not, just based off the ones I've tested over the years. And then the other reason is noise. Having that open and closing clicking, like when I'm in a hunting situation, I can do this blindfolded at this point, but you could just kind of quick loop that around your D loop without having that click noise, and inversely, you know, take it all on and off as needed. So I find that to be, And this one here being, you know, it's, I think this sits around $100 or $110. It folds back, you know. You could change out if your strap wears out, you could change the strap out to any other style strap that you really like. So for the money, this has been the number one release I've shot over the last, you know, 10, 12 years. Like I said, I have lots of variations of them with all the different parts you could put on them just to trick them out. And it's always good to carry a spare release anyway, should something happen. So yeah, I don't see myself getting away from that ever.
Yeah, and that one time that you don't have it on you, you have to walk all.
Yeah, I know a guy that's forgot it back at camp and had to walk all the way down the mountain, get it, and walk all the way back up to his spot before. So, no, definitely not. I still do from time to time because I am a gear nut, so I still will tinker around with a handheld style release. This is attached to a wrist strap just to help me because I, like, you know, with my baseball injury, I'm not able to really curl my index finger completely around, which is kind of awkward when you're holding just the release and you're trying to draw a bow back. You feel like you're almost going to accidentally let it go. So that helps a lot. Again, this is open jaw style. And yeah, this is the B3 Hunter. It's a really, this is up in price and release, but I think it's around like 180 bucks, I think is what this is coming in at. You could double check me. I know it was on them a little bit more on the expensive side, but it's a super crisp system. And the fact that it comes with a wrist system is really nice for guys like me that need that extra stability and or for not dropping
160.
It. Say that?
Yeah, 160.
160? Okay. So, yeah, not too far off. This one doesn't quite have the adjustability in the throat like my other one does. You can still adjust the tension with the thumb barrel, and you can switch out the thumb barrels. And the angle this way or the angle this way. But yeah, it's fun to shoot. I still like it. It's good practice, especially if I find myself I'm in like a punchy situation. I'll pull this thing out and shoot this for a day or two just to completely clear my mind, like a Control-Alt-Delete, and shoot a totally different system, then come back to what I was always shooting, and then I seem to, recenter myself. But that's pretty much the two main systems that I like. Just based off of my limitations with my hand, but just the successes I've had over the years with them.
Yeah. Have you never noticed, like, since you like your release to be a little bit on that hotter side, like, is there a moment, like, in the hunting situation that you regretted that?
No, I can't say that I have. Yeah, And all my releases are pretty much set that way. There was a time period where I had my hunting release on the colder side, meaning I had to, for those that don't know hot or cold, hotter meaning like the release is a little bit crisper, a little easier to go off, colder being that, there's a lot more take up in that trigger system in order to set that off. So there was a time where I was running it that way, but I find myself punching it more with that because it's almost like I'm practicing with a crisp trigger and then I have one that has a longer length of pull. And now I'm like kind of waiting to find that, like where that is. And now I'm like grabbing for it. So I just set all my releases exactly the same now, but it took a lot of like practice to have it where I could set my hand on that release and just rest it there, especially in like a hunting situation, when nerves and everything are high. It just takes practice, but I like the fact too, that when I'm ready to set it off, I'm going to set it off. I'm not ashamed to punch a trigger during a hunting scenario because there are times where you need to command shoot that. You have a small window, things happen quickly. You need to set it off. It needs to go off now. And I think that's important.
Yeah. I mean, in all reality, that as long as you are confident and comfortable shooting the way you shoot and it hits where it's supposed to hit, do you? I know like there's always joking about, oh man, like he's going to smash that or like whatever. But in the grand scheme of things, man, it's like we were joking a couple years ago when me, you, and Brock were shooting at TAC, and you're like, my God, like you're back, you settle your pin and you're firing. But I had good shots, you know what I mean? Like, and I mean, since then, obviously, I've progressed and everything along those lines. But it is what it is. Like I was watching some of the comp, the ASA shoot from this past weekend, and I mean, there are guys all over the place. Like, their hinge is going off super fast. They're index style shooters, command shooters with thumbs, and it doesn't matter, man. Like, they're hitting their shots, and you're doing, again, you just get out there and do what you want to do, and feel comfortable and confident. And as long as you're not frustrating yourself, then like, do whatever you got to do.
Whatever you can do consistently, that's really all that matters.
Yeah,
it's no different than golf or bowling or baseball or any other sport where you have to like repetitive motions. You might have a goofy swing or whatever that may be, but if you're doing the same every time and you could kind of master your own craft, you know, you're going to be successful.
Yeah. So we talked about, like, for me, I would say the last, 2 years I've been really focused. Yeah. I would say the last 2 years I've been back to my thumb buttons. You know, prior to that, like I mentioned, I did the back strap from Knock On. It was that tension style release. I shot that at Total Archery Challenge. And from there, I went to 2 years ago, Scott came out with the S2 wrist style. And this is on that, like, the lanyard style. For me, I liked that style just because of being able to shorten it, which allowed me to do what you were saying, to get, like, to get my whole finger over, my hand over. But this is a really great release. Anybody looking for that. And I mean, I know it's in the home of, with Elite and everything like that, but like it has like that little double sear to it. So there's not a lot of index style releases that have that. It's just, this release was super crisp, and, here where my thumb is right now, you just push that in and that open hook just is set. It's ready to rock and roll. Same thing, multiple style triggers. I do like having that little rounded one there. Again, that just allows me to feel a little bit more comfortable getting that hand or that finger over. I haven't shot it though in a while, but if I were to ever go back to index, or like you said, kind of reset, do different things, this is definitely the release for me. I really enjoy and really like that release. It was just, you know, I as far as like anchoring goes, and that's what we were talking a little bit that last time when we were chatting, was I just feel better anchoring with a handheld. That's my personal preference. I shot the UltraView button for a little bit. I liked that style with the three finger. I tried their four finger. It just seemed very big for some reason compared to, like, say, the stand that I was kind of shooting for a little bit as well, the clicker. I didn't to kind of stay on the UltraView, I don't have that one anymore. So it's, you know, we always joke about when you could see either go through phases or whatever. And there's things I liked about it, things I didn't like about it. The one thing that I did not like about the UltraView was the ability to have kind of infinite adjustment on the barrel. Like, you were able to move it in and out, but you weren't able to twist it and, like, put it where I like it. And the kind of the three handheld releases that I go back and forth between now are the Stand Clicker, the Scott Apex, and then now the Hot Shot Ignition. But the Stand is the medium, and it's a little small, and that head kind of goes the opposite way. It goes towards your pinky. And the one thing that I'm not a huge fan on with that is that style of that head. Like, you could kind of see, like, my middle finger is very close to that, mm-hmm. Like where the hook is, which is fine. But that Scott Apex, like, if I were to leave that up in my fingers, that is sticking out, and that's by itself. This release is a little bit bigger in my hand. It is the size large. I'm not sure what the medium would really be different, but the one thing that I like about it is you are able to adjust that barrel. Same thing with that Hot Shot. Really, these two feel awesome in my hand as far as weight goes. The Hot Shot's lighter than Apex. Apex has that more weight to it, but that thumb barrel just sits perfectly deep. And that's where I kind of like it in that shot process. Whereas when I was using the old Knock to it back in the day, when I first went to a thumb button, you know, John really shows when he teaches, he's like, put it here, right? Like more that, where that knuckle is, and pull through. And that's what I was doing. But that, like, that causes you to punch. Like, I just punched it there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Whereas if I'm deeper into that thumb, I kind of have to pull a little mm-hmm. bit more, and I could either sometimes touch my index finger or sometimes I don't, but I just feel better here and get that pull. And I kind of like to relax that hand and use that ring finger like a hinge and almost like rotate, but like squeeze those two, my thumb and ring finger together. And that's where I get that shot to go off. But what's great is, though, with all these, like what you were saying about different finger attachments for your release, that's the same thing with those main three. All three of those come with a three finger, four finger. You can shoot it as a two finger, different size barrels. Hotshot only has that one main barrel, but it's nice. It's a really good, has like a good gnarl to it, basically. But what's really cool, all three of them are set up with the same diagonal barrel. I know in the video, you can't really tell, but they all sit in that same spot. And I love that feel and all have that same adjustment as far as like tension goes. The Hotshot comes in with the lighter screw in there. So I was telling you and Josh, when I got it and I was testing it out, it was, I was like, you guys would like this, 'cause it is light. You know, as soon as I would get back and I would settle, I mean, I could adjust it a little bit, and I got a nice couple surprise shots. And like, for me, I don't like that. I like to be kind of in command and in a subconscious way, I guess you could kind of say. And once I put that medium screw, 'cause there's a light, a medium, and a heavy screw that you could put in. Once I put that medium in, it is identical to the other two releases. But I do, which one I'm going to roll with, it's definitely going to be the Scott and Hotshot right now. The stand is kind of working its way to the back end right now, just because both of these heads are facing your thumb. They have that same kind of ultra view style head where it kind of sticks out like that. And it's what I really enjoy about those two.
Yeah. Releases. I think all handheld releases should be manufactured where the head and neck is kind of on that thumb side, as a, you know, because you're anchoring, that's where your anchor point is. That's where the string is, right? Your string is, you want everything to kind of be as centered and not have any sort of tension put on it whatsoever. And I feel like if that thing is kind of facing away from you ever so slightly, I feel like that's a little bit of tension it's putting opposite direction of where it should be in theory, right? In conjunction with, you know, your finger being so close to where that mouth is.
Yeah. But what's neat is about like how different feel, like this Apex originally, I was like, man, this sucker's like big. If like the weight is heavier. And at the time I threw the forefinger on, I didn't really care for the forefinger. So I put the three back on. And once I adjusted that thumb barrel and I had this thinner one on, I didn't like it. Like I thought maybe that would have been the opportunity for me to get my thumb over easier with the smaller barrel, but it's not the case. It's actually is the bigger barrel and it sits like exactly where I want it. So now it's like, it's familiar. So if whatever reason, if I want to go back and forth, I can. But yeah, both releases are very crisp. Probably two of the crispiest, I know it sounds funny, but like two of the crispiest releases I've shot, to date. I mean, those two, they break so nice. And if I'm still in my shot, and like when you watch that arrow go exactly, you're almost like still watching it from the shelf of the bow. I mean, I love that. And it hits exactly where my pin was. I mean, both of those releases, when I get a good shot break, man, that's what I'm striving for. So, yeah, they are pricier. They are on that $300 upper range, but I mean, it's like one of those, like these two releases I don't see myself getting rid of. Like I really, truly don't. I think these two are the ones that I'm going to rock with for a long time. I've tried the hinges. I shouldn't say I'm not a fan of them. I just, I still end up like forcing it. You know what I mean? Like I still kind of force that like wrist rotation where I'm like, you know what? I don't just work on what's working and hone in on that rather than like trying something
for different. Sure. I'm so, still a big believer in that the components of your archery equipment is way more important than like the bow itself. You know, you could shoot a real low end bow or a bow from Cabela's off the shelf and like put the right sight and rest on it and shoot the right release, maybe even the right arrow combination. You could be shoot lights out with it. You know what I mean? That your handheld or your index or whatever your trigger mechanism is, super, super important. It's no different than having a good crisp trigger in a rifle in order for it to be accurate, you know?
Yep. Yeah. The one thing I will say about for a hunting situation where I would say the Hotshot has the advantage, it does have that closing jaw aspect to it, like kind of like how the UltraView does. So like that opens, so you could just like loop that on, whereas, and leave it on your bow for some of you that like that opportunity. I actually don't, just because I don't want it to fall off by hitting the thumb barrel by accident or grabbing it or anything along those lines. Or I like to keep it where I have a hand warmer, so the release is warm when I pull it out, type of ordeal. But if you are like that individual that likes to hook, that Apex doesn't have that capability. So just like one maybe small advantage of that hot shot goes to that. And obviously too, like the weight, if you like a heavier one, check out that Apex. If you like a lighter one, check out, you know, the hot shot. Like, it's give or take at this point in time.
Yeah. Again, it's whatever feels the best to you and whatever you could do the most consistently. I think you, between you and I, and even Josh, we cover a lot of the spectrum with the different types of releases. I mean, I'm shooting a 20-year-old, you know, $100 wrist rocket that people make fun of. But then, and then you have like some of the higher end, you know, $300+ handheld releases. And it's at the end of the day, we're still hitting where we want to, where we want. We're getting the results that we want. So you just got to find out what
Josh uses a hinge.
Josh
too.
Does use a hinge from time to time. Yep. He shoots a hinge. He shoots a knock to it. He's got a few.
How the hell does he shoot a knock to it with those mitts?
I don't know how he gets his finger in there, to be honest with you, in that predetermined hole that's there. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But it's like a little butthole.
Yeah. So yeah, you could literally go out to any box store and pick up a release and just, you know, give it a shot and test it and see what works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. One of my favorite releases that I shot, like when I got back into archery, was a wrist strap release from Cabela's. It was like a Cabela's brand. And it had the BOA system to it. Even like when that first came out, that release was great. I ended up breaking it by accident. Like I didn't like not during a shot. I remember like one time I was like, what the heck, it broke. And so I was like, well, that's what you get for like a $50 release. But yeah, so I, like you said, Jim, I mean, shoot what you're comfortable doing. Where are you at right now with everything? Cause we're going to be going to TAC soon. I'll be coming in here to hang out with you in a couple weeks, get things set up. Anything else as far as like what you've the last 2 weeks that's worth sharing?
On the bow, I'm going to be taking to TAC. I have my draw length and everything fine tuned on that. That thing's tuned perfect right down the middle. It's really lights out. I'm super, super, super happy with it. Now I got to spend a full year with that bow last year coming into this year. So I think that also helps. Well, I had time to kind of play and get things dialed in, but got a brand new set of strings on it from ABB. I just finished up a dozen of the Ultra 204s. Total arrow weight there is going to be like right around 430 grains. And I found that weight combination, you know, with having a brass insert in the front and a 100-grain tip, that I'm getting right around 14% FOC, which is awesome for trajectory and for accuracy, but also penetration. So I think this might, although it's 430 grains, and some people might say that might be on a little bit on the lighter side. When you start running some of the numbers through the chrono, my speed to weight combination, I'm still getting that right around like 78, 79, almost 80. Foot-pounds of kinetic energy, which is like tremendous. I mean, it's bone-shattering kinetic energy for a bow and arrow. So not only will this make a good tack arrow, I think it's going to be a good hunting arrow too. So looking forward to giving that a shot. So I think we're pretty much dialed. I just need to finalize sight tape really and get outside. Now, if we get some nice days here consecutively, I can kind of reach out to those further distances and kind of hone in.
Yeah. Hey, one thing before we get off, kind of going back to the very beginning of the episode when I was saying about walking the mountain with my dad, you know, the last like 2.5 weeks, I've really cleaned up the nutrition side of things, counting my macros again. And obviously, like, I've always worked out, right? Being a health and PE teacher, I know all that stuff, but I've kind of probably just made a little bit more excuses of like really not pushing it. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm 38. I'm not doing competitions. I'm just doing this, like kind of maintaining. And I've really stepped out of my comfort zone. I shouldn't say comfort zone, but I'm really pushing myself again. I feel good. And the nutrition side of things is going really well. But dude, yesterday when I was hiking up and down the mountain with dad, I haven't felt that good in a while. And I mean, I know you had that great the last like 2 years and how hunting season this past year, you said of how much better you felt, especially when you were Billy and the guys like doing the long drives, man, isn't that awesome? Like when you actually see the work you're putting in and that is something that I hope some of you listening, if you're on the verge of like trying to maybe do that, or you're in the process of doing it, like keep friggin' at it. You will feel better. You're going to thank yourself in the long run, and continue on. If there's any messages or, you know, motivational type things that you need, reach out, because we're all trying to just get better.
100%, man. That was well said. Yeah. I can't thank myself enough for taking the leap to really up my game in that side of things. You know, you and I are gear nuts, and we like to tinker with all the different types of equipment, but at the end of the day, like, our body's the most important piece of equipment. And yeah, it definitely is a great feeling when you could, you know, those same hills and mountains that we were covering for years, you could go back and do them and feel like you could just do them over and over and over again without much of an effort. And it's awesome. It's going to make you a more efficient hunter too. Just getting, you know, myself stealthily getting through some of those areas and just positioning myself in some of those odd ways that you find yourself in when you're hunting, to getting to full draw, like in weird positions, like all those little things like that. This is, you know, it's all good. It's all going to be a tremendous help.
Yeah. And I will say this, like, don't get discouraged by maybe the scale, whether it be going up, going down, like a lot or a little or anything along those lines. Like, I would really encourage you to take measurements, like grab that, like the scale, like not just the, or measurement, like the tape measure, not the kind that you would measure how long your desk is or something like along those lines, but an actual wardrobe type tape measure, and do your circumference of your waist, like do your arms, do your shoulders, do that, because like you might only lose 3-4 pounds maybe in a couple weeks, but you might have lost 2 full inches off your waist. I mean, that's, you know what I mean? That's where
you're going to add muscle. So muscle weight, you know, is going to play a factor in that weight. Your body's going to start to retain, you know, a little bit more water from the things you're doing. So it's, the scale is just kind of like false. You know, I try not to even look at the scale really much anymore. It's about how I feel, about how my clothes fit, about how I feel when I'm doing certain things with my kid or when I'm hiking or whatever. That's really the proper tools to gauge it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't use BMI. That stuff's, that's the worst thing. That, I mean, obviously being a health and phys ed teacher, I kind of constantly tell the kids, and I always joke and say, even though I'm not a big basketball fan or LeBron fan, but like LeBron James's BMI is considered obese. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like you could see that man's not obese.
So, and for God's sakes, drink water. Now that I'm thinking about it, I got to get this thing out and drink this right now.
Yeah, there you go. Sweet, man. Well, hey, we'll have a in-person episode coming out in a couple weeks when we get together here. So I'm excited to do that one. Those are always fun when we get together. Tim's out scouting for you for turkey. We're going to try to get you a turkey for the first time in a long time. So that'll be fun coming up here in the next month and a half or so. So, dude, I appreciate it. I know this was a quick one, and I know it was kind of just talking about some of the releases that we like and that we're using. But the message is get out there, shoot your bow, work out, do stuff with your family, enjoy this time, because it's going to be ramping up soon. And appreciate you for always the support, the messages. We're hopefully going to have a new t-shirt design coming out. I know I'm definitely going to use someone different to make the t-shirts. I was very pissed off with that local individual, which kind of sucks, because you try to keep things local and shit hits the fan. So probably going to honestly just do the whole, what's it called, that where you could order from the website. I'm having a brain fart, but we'll do something like that. And we're going to have someone really cool. I'm going to work with somebody to try to make up a new design. I have a couple ideas, and sometimes I don't have the time to design it myself. So we're going to have maybe someone do it and have some.
I have one more thing. You sent a picture. You found your dad's broadhead. Yeah. What happened with that? Was it lodged in a tree or something?
No, he probably found it and just like stuck it by the one tree and didn't pick it up to bring home.
Yeah. I got that picture that you sent, and I was like, holy crap. Like, it's been almost like, you know, it's been a while since what October or whatever that was. And I thought maybe you just got lucky and went back to the scene of the crime and found it lodged in a tree or something.
Yeah. I mean, it was the scene of the crime a little bit. And I was like, I looked down and I saw it, and you could see on the one side, like where it hit the rock. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, because when he shot it, he's like, I saw sparks. So he hit the one rock that he shot right under it, basically. We got to get him a new bow. That thing's cursed. Mm-hmm. I know you killed one buck with it, but it's a little bit too heavy for him as far as poundage drawn mm-hmm. back, and we've lightened it up for him.
And the overall weight of the bow, like the weights have come down quite a bit since he bought that one.
Yeah.
If we get him a nice light setup, I think he'll be back in business.
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. So, but yeah, it was, the blades were still intact. The ferrule was the only thing really that was not mm-hmm. usable. Cause I was like, oh, where's the, and I pushed the blades and the blades came out, but, it was a sever. So I think next year I told him like, you're going to shoot Grim Reapers yeah. next year.
I think we're all kind of moving towards the Grim Reapers.
Yeah. Grim Reapers. I like the torch from Slick Tricks. I like those two. They're kind of similar to a sever in a sense, with the two blade. But, yeah, I'd either go with the torch Slick Trick, or I would go definitely Grim Reaper mini mags. I friggin'
yeah, I'm going to run the mini mags. I think, I like the way they fly. I've seen a lot of success with them. I haven't personally shot them yet, but I've seen enough proof in the pudding to be able to put them on my arrows. I had a lot of success last year with the, dead meats. That was my first year actually shooting the dead meats too. I like trying different broadheads each year just until, you know, I can always go back to the ones that I know for sure work and whatever, but like, I'm always trying to make things a little bit better. That was the most accurate broadhead that I've ever shot. I will say that. So that'll be something that I'll keep kind of in the back burner if I ever need to get back to it. But, I kind of like the way that these mini mags fly too. And I like that little bit extra cutting diameter. I don't know. I just think the penetration will be a slightly better with these and, yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I mean, I'm trying to think. I've killed 2 bucks with one, 3 doe with mm-hmm. them. I mean, I'm all 5 for 5. Anytime that, like, last fall, the doe that we didn't recover, I was trying out those beast from mm-hmm. Bomars just to see. And we got good blood, but we didn't get a deer. Yeah. So it's still strange. But, all right, man. Dude, we'll see you next week, everybody. We're going to maybe have... trying to think what next week's episode is going to be. Talking to another individual PA, very successful hunter. He's kind of more of all big woods type stuff. So we're going to talk big woods. And then
you gotta
the following week.
You got to get Tim on here to start talking turkeys. And Tim and Josh. But Tim, you know, he's on the hunt for the Grand Slam. I mean, he's got his lifetime slam now, but now he might be trying to do it in 1 year. I'd like to hear a little more about that and hear his story of what did he kill? Was it an Osceola? Yeah. Yeah. So I'd like to hear that story on here. Let's get him on.
Yeah. All right. All right, everybody. Wrap it up. Thanks. Figuratively.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Antler Up Podcast. We hope you enjoyed it. Please go check us out on our Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and at antlerupoutdoors.com. If you enjoyed this episode, go leave a review and subscribe for next week's episode. Until then, Antler Up.
Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist... is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
I saw this app.
I got a hit.
In the new limited series, DTF St. Louis, Jason Bateman, David Harbour, and Linda Cardellini star as three suburbanites who spice up their love lives.
Wow.
Don't miss the new HBO original limited series, DTF St. Louis, premiering March 1st on HBO Max.
You're listening to the Sportsman's Empire Podcast Network, and this episode is brought to you by Interstate Batteries. For all of your battery needs, visit your local Interstate Batteries retail store. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.